Thank you, Josh. I remember his mother teaching him how to sing, amen? And so that is good. I appreciate that very much. I can sing, you just don't want to hear me too close up. But that's good, amen? Isn't that good? Amen. Oh, you can smile a little bit. We're in church, amen? And so that was good stuff. Let's talk about this tonight as we continue our series on things that God does not endorse. Why does God not endorse magic or the occult? Well, the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, and I want to show you how the devil would use things to bring them in very mildly, very slowly, but yet he brings them in. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You'll notice this, that in the Bible says, who hath hindered you? It doesn't say what hath hindered you. There's always a who behind the what. Always a who behind the what. Somebody had to create the what in order for the who to use. And so he always uses a who. You know, we fight against the devil. We know that. We know the devil is real. You know, sometimes we think that things are cute. Sometimes we think that things are pretend. Sometimes we think that things are make-believe. Sometimes we think that things are just innocent when it comes about the devil. But none of that is true. Can I tell you tonight, he still goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the Bible teaches here that he is real, and we're not supposed to wrestle against each other, but we're supposed to know who our enemy is to be able to wrestle against him. You know, he comes innocent, perhaps, and tries to appear most innocent, but his goal is to destroy. That's his goal. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, the Bible says, and marvel not. It says, for Satan himself has transformed into an angel of light. So he comes in that which is an acceptable appearance. The devil, of course, is counting that you'll be ignorant or that you'll be tolerant enough to be able to allow him in so that he can take advantage of you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Now, by the way, it didn't say neither give a big place. It didn't say neither give a moderate place. It said neither give place. You know, just a little place would be enough to be able for him to get a hook in you. You know, you can catch a pretty large fish with a very small hook. You know, and if he can get a hook in you, he can destroy you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, lest Satan get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So now what do we get out of that? We understand he has devices. He has devices. Can I tell you, he's an expert in getting you involved and using devices whereby he'll put a hook in you. So what the devil's looking for is just a small amount of tolerance. He's looking for just a small foothold, if you will. And by the way, if he can get a small foothold in there, then he can take that foothold, and now it becomes a stronghold, and it will wind up destroying. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, for though it says we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You know, nobody likes anybody else to pick on their flesh. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever notice if you start picking on somebody's flesh, I don't care how spiritual they are, if at that time they're not walking in sync with the Holy Spirit of God and surrender to his power working in their life, 9 times out of 10, they're going to get offended. All right, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, it says, through God to the pulling, it says, listen to it now, down of strongholds. All right, so God says, hey, wait a minute now. He said, I can show you how you can take the weapons that I have given you and to be able to pull down mighty strongholds in your life. Magic, the occult, witchcraft, you know, things that perhaps you thought were innocent and cute, maybe even humorous at times. How many of you as young people have seen Snow White? How many of you as young people have seen maybe Cinderella? How many of you as young people have seen The Wizard of Oz? How many of you as young people have seen Casper the Friendly Ghost? Or have seen maybe Scooby-Doo or Bewitched? And each and every single one of them has mild incentives in it to be able to lessen the sensitivity of that which is wrong when it comes to witchcraft and certain things that could be implemented in your young person's mind that later on could develop into a major stronghold. You have to understand that the devil is sly. He wasn't born yesterday. And so all he's trying to do is just kind of get in a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit. All he's trying to do is just get a little bit of an edge. All he's trying to do is just weave himself in just a little bit. And before you know it, that young 5-year-old, that young 4-year-old, that young 6-year-old, that young 7-year-old that sees that and these little thoughts are put in their mind, and before you know it, they want to advance it. Come on. You know, before you ever fell in love with your favorite food, you had to take a bite. You know why it's advanced today? Because you kept on biting. You know why some people become alcoholics? Because first they sip. Then it becomes social, then it becomes daily. But it started with a sip. So you have to be very, very careful what you allow your children to sip on. Oh, you say, but preacher, you're taking all the fun out. Well, one of the advantages you have, and I'm going to tell you the truth, is, and by the way, since I'm preaching to you, it should be the truth, should it not? And, but I'm going to tell you the truth. One of the advantages you have is coming to a Bible-believing Baptist church that's going to shoot it straight about that which is right to do. And there will be warning sounds that go out from time to time from the pulpit, sometimes fiery warning sounds, sometimes less fiery warning sounds, sometimes teaching type of warnings that come out. And so you just have to be careful. You know, if you're going to give your kid a dose of some type of cartoonish type of presentation that gives something that is a non-truth, then can I tell you, you better on the other side of that be giving them a heavy, 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 heavy dose of that which is truth, or you're not going to have a balanced kid. Now, you agree with that? Nod your head. All right? Now, watch this, if you will. And so we understand that the devil tries to sneak things in. You know, nothing seemed wicked or nothing seemed evil or nothing seemed satanic or nothing seemed scary by some of those that I just mentioned. You know, but what it does is it starts the road that a young person will probably continue to travel. And so Hollywood produces things like the sword and the stone, produces things like the Lord of the Rings, produces things like the Chronicles of Narnia, produces things as it goes on like the X-Files, and it gets a little bit deeper as it produces things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. By the way, the X-Files has 10 million households that view it, and their viewing audience. Oh, that thing that's called Buffy the Vampire, I've never seen it, but they say it has 4 million households that view it. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you, it's a gradual indoctrination until a young person, watch this, creates a thirst whereby they want more. Oh, don't you pray to God that young people would have such a thirst for their Bible? Don't you pray to God that they'd have such a thirst for working on a bus route like that? You know, a lot of young people, even heading out to a bus route, they've got to pull something out to be able to keep their attention, called a game, in order to be able to soothe their own consciences before they go out to do something spiritual. Okay. And so we understand that you could cause, a Pokemon. A Pokemon caught on quickly. Matter of fact, it caught on so quickly in Turkey that the Minister of Health in Turkey urged all stations to remove it immediately. He said it was detrimental to the children's well-being. There were so many young people that was following the Pokemon that was injuring themselves by jumping off of high places that were very dangerous because they believed that they had extraordinary superpowers. And he said it's detrimental to their health. And so he said, we've got to remove that. They would carry cards around inside of their pocket, believing if they had certain cards in their pocket, it would give them certain superpowers. In Saudi Arabia, they banned the cards and the game from the entire country. Here's what they said. It's Satanistic, and we don't want him here. Now, that was in Saudi Arabia. Then you have things like Harry Potter that came out, and the public schools started taking all the kids to see it. You got things that came out like what they call Goosebumps and Medium and Vampire Diaries and Charmed and Ghost Whisperers and Crossover and Journeymen and Reaper and Pushing Daisies and all these things fill the minds of young people. And before you know it, because they've got a taste of that, they begin to think wrong. You take somebody that begins to think wrong a long time and you got yourself a problem on your hands. 134 movies in the last few years have introduced the occult as a part of their mainstream doctrine. New York Times published an article about Hollywood's obsession with the occult. They say that 5 out of the 10 highest grossing, that's money, grossing movies that hit the box office were pushing the occult as their base doctrine. Cartoons and superpowers and spells and witches and sorcerers and chants and magic is a part of the everyday watching of those that put their child in front of a television set to be able to babysit them while they go about carrying on their own business. 8 out of 10 teenagers admit that they've been reading horoscopes, and 3 out of 10 teenagers admit that they've played with a Ouija board, and many children receive books in the public school especially that deals with ESP and out-of-body experiences and talking dead people and gothic cults and rock music that embraces all these many things. Even Mattel put out a toy line with their latest Barbie doll that during the day she's a student and at night she turns into a witch. Now, can I tell you, you have to be aware of these things. You say, well, preacher, why are you saying such? Because somebody needs to sound the warning before a kid gets messed up. You have to understand how deep this stuff goes, and you have to be wise as a serpent to understand. You need to execute some wisdom, and you need to know exactly what your kid is looking at on that phone. Exactly what they're looking at on that iPad. Exactly what they're looking at on that television screen. Exactly what they're looking at on your computer. I'm saying this, you have to be wise. Now, let me give you some statements. May I do it, please? Statement number one, God is dogmatic about how he feels about people that do such things. God is dogmatic about how he feels about people that do such things. Let me read you a couple of statements. Can I do it? Exodus chapter 22 and in verse 18, the Bible says, thou shalt not suffer a witch, and this is what it says, to live. He's pretty dogmatic about that, isn't he? Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 27, the Bible says a man also, or it says woman, that hath a familiar spirit. It says, or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. Well, that's a pretty strong statement right there, isn't it? Yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, the Bible says, talking about after the abomination of the nations, what's going to take place. And in verse 10, the Bible says that there shall not be found among you. It says, anyone that maketh a son or a daughter to pass through the fire, okay? And he's talking about here that which is the observer of times, enchantments, and witches, and charmers, and those that encounter familiar spirits or wizards. Okay, and he's saying now, what you need to understand, and watch what it says says in verse 12, it says here, it says, and all that do these are an abomination unto the Lord. It says, and because of these abominations, the Lord, it says, doth not drive, watch what it says, doth drive them out before thee. He said, because of these things that you're involved in, he said, I'm going to drive you out before me. In other words, he is not going to dwell in your presence. See, I submit something to you tonight, that somebody involved in such things, I promise you, don't even have a clue as to what the power of God is all about. Because of the fact that they're entertained by all these other things, and these other things have a hold of them, whereby I promise you that they're not seeking that which is God's presence and God's power and God's wisdom and direction in their individual lives. You know, the Bible talks about how God is showing that these people were worthy of death. Now, you think about this. He said, these people that do such things are worthy of death. He even calls them an abomination in his sight. Now, wait a minute. If he is doing that, then why in the world would you ever advise somebody to bring such entertainment or even jest about such entertainment in their lives? Think about this tonight. Somebody might say, well, you know, why would you pretend to be enamored with something that God calls an abomination? See, I think this. Here's why I think our society is. We have become so lukewarm to truth that when somebody hears sharpness taught about truth, they just sit back, casually hear it, and it doesn't make a difference. Because after all, we have that comfortable lifestyle. You know, we have these things that we embrace. And you know, after all, preacher's preaching about this, but I still like my game. Preacher's preaching about this, but I still like what I'm doing. And they'll still embrace it. Now, I would stay far away from the movies or the video games or the cartoons or the music or the television or the books or the games, if you will, or the costumes that would push or give anybody the idea that you're even identifying with something that's an occult. Bible says we're supposed to be above reproach. That means nobody should be able to point at you whereby they're saying you have something in your life that should not be. You know where it all starts? It all starts by taking the wrong step. You know, once we are tolerant and then we're acceptant. And then we go from being accepted to that which is curious. And then we go from being that which is curious to that which is experimental. And then we go from that which is experimental to that which is addictive. But it's a trip. Now, it all starts with just a little bit. That's where it starts at. Okay? You know, the key is don't ever take the first step. Don't ever take the first step. You know, ask God to keep sin exceedingly sinful in your life. Hate the evil and love the righteousness. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4, the Bible says, fools make a mock of sin. That means to make fun of. Fools make a mock of sin, a mockery, if you will. Fools make a mock of sin, but it says among the righteous there is favor. So statement number one, I said this, God is dogmatic about how he feels about people that do such things. Statement number two, God is dogmatic about his people not seeking after those things. He's dogmatic about his people not seeking after those things. In other words, he says, you ought not seek after these things. By the way, did you know that we live in a big world? And did you know there is plenty of entertainment that is right and good and wholesome? And you don't have to go to other places in order to get your thrills. There's plenty of things you can do that's not going to corrupt your mind. There's plenty of things you can do that's not going to cause you to stumble. Can I say this? Over in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31, the Bible says, regard not them that have familiar spirits. It says, neither seek after wizards. It says, and by the way, these things are in your Bible. So I never knew that God talked about wizards in the Bible. I never knew he talked about witches in the Bible. Well, maybe it's because you've not read it much. But can I tell you, there is all sorts of things in the Bible that God himself rises up and says, let me tell you, I wrote this for your instruction. I wrote this for your learning. I wrote this for your benefit. I wrote this for your knowing. I wrote this for your wisdom. I wrote this to direct you. I've given this to you so that you can know the right way to go and the way that you ought not to go. And that's exactly how much God loves you. Now, can I tell you tonight, over in Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 2, and you can read some other scriptures. I'm skipping along here, but I put them in your notes for you. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. It says, learn not the way of the heathen, nor be dismayed, it says, at the signs in heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. He said, so don't follow the pathway of the heathen, because they're getting excited about things that you ought not get excited about. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20, the Bible says, but I say, he said, that the things, it says, which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice the devils and not to God. And I would not, now watch what it says, that ye should have fellowship with what? The devils, or with devils. He said, don't have fellowship with that. You know, you can open a door and it should be shut. That should never be opened. Did you know that? Did you know? You ought to remember that the Bible says that the devil is our adversary. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says that we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It says, but rather reprove them. So it says, don't have fellowship with sin. Number one, I said this as I hurry tonight through our lesson. God is dogmatic about how he feels about people that do such things. Statement number two, God is dogmatic about the people not seeking after those things. Statement number three, people that got saved and right with God got rid of those things. People that got saved and got right with God got rid of those things. Think about young Josiah. You know, young Josiah was only 8 when he took the kingdom, according to my studies. And young Josiah, at the age of 8, when he went into the kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem, the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 24 that there they were cleaning out everything, and they went into the temple and they found the book. What book? That was the book of God. And they opened the book and they began to read the book. And as they began to read the book, they understood exactly what to do. Now, what did he do? Well, you'll find out. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 24, the Bible says, moreover, it says, the workers with what? Familiar spirits. It says, with wizards, with images, it says, with idols. It says, all, it says, the abominations that are spread throughout the land of Judah and Jerusalem. So what did he do? He tore those down. He got rid of them. Acts chapter 19 and verse 18, it sounds to me like he cleaned house. Acts chapter 19 and verse 18, the Bible says, and many that believe came and confessed and showed their deeds. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, and many also, the Bible says, used curious arts. It says, and brought books together and burned them. Now, why did they burn such things? Because those things were things that were hurting them. Now, I don't know how many of you young people have ever gone to a youth camp and you got a conviction about something and you came home and you said to mom and you said to daddy, you said, we can't have that right there in my life anymore. I made a decision to get rid of this. Now, why did you do that? Because somebody showed you a truth and the sweet Holy Spirit of God made it personal. And when he made it personal, you became under conviction and you said, no more for that. That is for sure. Okay? Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So sometimes somebody has to go home and purge the house. Sometimes you have to purge your head. Sometimes you have to purge your heart. You know, it just really depends on how close you want to get to the Lord in different areas in your life. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 23, the Bible says, and it came to pass, it says, when the evil spirit, it says, from God was upon Saul. Now, here's what he did. He called for David. David came and he played the harp. You know why? Because the right music drove out his depression. I tell people all the time, I say, if you're depressed, you're down, you're lonely, then you need to check out what type of music you're listening to, because music can help your spirit. You play melodious, right type of music in your household, it will change your stinking thinking into that which is spiritual thinking. It'll change the way you think. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 21, the Bible says, and be not overcome with of evil, but overcome evil with good. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, and I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong in the word of the Lord. It says, abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Sometimes you need to plead his name. You read about this in your Bible, no doubt, and you read about where it says to plead the blood of Christ. Over in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, and the 70, it says, returned again, it says, with joy, saying, Lord, it says, even the devils are subject unto us. Now watch what it says, through his name, through his name. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 16 and verse 18, the Bible says, and this did she many days. But Paul, it says, being grieved, turned, and said to the Spirit, I command thee to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it says to come out of her, and he came out of her that hour. There is power in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things under things in the earth and things under the earth. Wow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That's a pretty powerful name right there. James chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We understand this. The Bible says over, and I'll skip one, but look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. The Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So they overcame by what? Also the blood. Also the blood. So we understand that God is dogmatic about how he feels about people that do such. We understand that God is dogmatic about people not seeking after those things. We understand that people that got saved and got right with God got rid of those things. We also understand that God warns us to stay away from things that are evil or even look evil. So stay away from things that are evil or even look evil. Oh, here's what it says. I'm almost done. Over in Psalm 34 and verse 14, the Bible says, depart from evil, it says, and do good. It says, seek peace and pursue it. By the way, if you're pursuing one way, you won't be pursuing the other way. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of the evil man. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16, the Bible says, a wise man feareth and depart from evil. It says, but the fool, rageth and is confident. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 17, the Bible says that the highway of the upright is to depart from evil and keepeth his way, it says, preserveth his soul. All right, so what is the soul? The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's what the soul is, the mind, the will, and the emotions. So he says when a person seeks after the Lord, he's going to preserve his mind, he's going to preserve his will, and he's going to preserve his emotions. Well, look at this one here. The Bible says that a prudent man says foreseeth evil. In other words, he knows about it. He's investigated. He understands it. It's just not somebody that's just letting something take advantage of them. They've done their due diligence, okay? The Bible says, foreseeth evil, and he said he hideth himself, but the simple pass on and is punished. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, let me just give you this, and I'll get ready to shut it down just real quick. Two more points, and I'm done. Statement number one, I said, God is dogmatic about how he feels about people that get involved in such. I said, statement number two, that God is dogmatic about people, about his people not seeking after those things. Statement number three, I said that people that got saved and got right with God got rid of those things. Statement number four, I said that God warns us to stay away from things that are evil or even look evil. Statement number next, okay? God wants us filling our minds with good things, not evil things. God wants us filling our minds with good things, not evil things. The Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate therein, or meditate, the Bible says, day and night, Psalm 1 and verse 2. Psalm 101 and verse 3, the Bible says, I was set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work, it says, of them that turneth aside, it shall not cleave. That means grab a hold of you and hold on tight. It shall not cleave to me. Psalm 119, verse 97, the Bible says, thy law. It says, it is my meditation. Meditation means to chew, to cut. It means to think on it. How long does it do it? It says all day. All right? So put that Bible in there. By the way, can I tell you, the Bible is like, if you would please, water that is going through pipes that are all clogged up. You know, it's like you go into a hospital and you've got clogged arteries, and they're going to do a bypass on you. They're going to stick something down there. They're going to kind of clean that plaque out and stuff like that. That's what the Bible does to your soul. The Bible will clean you out. The Bible will make you healthy. The Bible says, casting down imaginations, and it says, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. By the way, if it comes to the knowledge of God and the knowledge of man, God wins every single time. The Bible says, in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let me give you these two, and then we'll move on to the last point, and I'm done. Listen to it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Tells you what to think on. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So God says, here's what I want you to think on. Here's your list right here. Here's your list. Then here's the last thought. You know, God wants us to understand that in the last days, you think about this, in the last days, people will be drawn to those things. Now, haven't you seen that? I have. I came up in a different generation. I did. I came up in a different generation. But my generation, and I tell this to young people all the time, my generation did not have the temptations that this generation has. Now, I believe there's more temptations today than I've ever seen in my life. Now, we had different temptations. I didn't say we had no temptations. I didn't say that. But I am saying that there's more. There is more. Back in our day, we didn't have cell phones that had pictures on it. You had a camera, for one thing. You did. And you had and to have a watch that you speak into and it talks back. Only Dick Tracy had that. But nowadays, you see all that stuff right around here. You really do. Now they're coming out with cars that's going to drive themselves. Hello? That's when you put your mother-in-law in it and press California. I'm kidding. I love my mother-in-law. I do. She lives in Florida. I love my mother-in-law. I'm kidding. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, here's what it says. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressively. All right, now what's he saying? Why is he being so expressive about it? Why? I mean, why is he making such a big deal? Here's what he says. Speaketh expressly. In other words, he's making great emphasis on it. It says that in the latter times, some shall depart, listen to it now, from the faith. Doesn't our Bible teach in the book of Hebrews that it is impossible to please God without what? Without faith. That's what it says. So what, I'm asking you a question as an adult. I'm asking you a question as a teenager. Listen to me now. What is causing you not to put your faith in God? Are you spending more time watching the television than you spend any time reading your Bible? Our Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, oh, preacher, I don't like to read. Then get yourself a digital recorded copy, and as you go running, put those earbuds in and listen to that Bible. It says faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Didn't say reading. Catch it. Hearing. All right? So as you hear it, it goes in and flushes out. Goes in and flushes out. You say, oh, preacher, I just felt like if I couldn't read my Bible, I was not right with God. You know, you're supposed to give attention to reading. That's in your Bible too. But can I tell you, to use the excuse of not doing that so I won't do the others, a pretty sad state. Can I tell you, something's better than nothing. They tell me if you take a few vitamins, better not taking any at all. Yes. I think if you drink a little bit of coffee, it's better not drinking any at all. Okay. Let me finish the verse. May I do it? The Bible says, in the latter times shall depart, it says, from the faith. Now, what happens when you depart from the faith? It says, giving heed to what? Seducing. That means overtaking. Seducing doctrines, or seducing spirits, and doctrines of what? Devils. There's that word again. All right? So here's what God says. He said, in the last days, people are going to be drawn away. Okay? You ever see a kid sit in front of a television set, flat screen, whatever the case may be, and they're mesmerized. Mesmerized. You ever see that? You ever see a teenager get on a video game? And normally the wilder it is, the more it has their attention. I was in a doctor's office just the other day, and when I was in the doctor's office, I was in that little waiting area, you know. I went to see an eye doctor, and so I was in that little waiting room, you know. And as I was in that little waiting room, this guy came in. Oh, he had to be about 21, I guess, 21, you know. And he came in, and he pulled out his phone, and he was playing some game. It's a war game. He's playing some game, and he turned it up. I guess he also needed his hearing checked. And he turned it up, and he's playing that war game. And, boy, he's moving around just like this. I mean, he's in that thing, man. He's just moving. I mean, he's shaking. He's in that thing. He's in that thing. And that nurse called his name. He's in it so much, he didn't hear her. Now, there's only two of us in the room, and my name is not Jerry. And she stepped back out, and she said again, Jerry. Well, she didn't know who the guy was. And she looked at me and said, well, I'm it. And then she went over and she tapped him. She said, your name Jerry? He said, uh-huh. She said, come with me. Had to take that 21-year-old boy out like a 5-year-old boy. Say, come with me, follow me. And he got up, and he followed. You know, and he went in and had his eyes checked, you know, and I yelled out, check his hearing tube. No, I didn't. But but the thing was, he was just so into it, you know. I mean, he's just so into it. Now, I want to ask you a question, young people, and I love you. Now, I'm telling you the fact when I say I love you. But does your devices, remember we read about that word devices there a few moments ago? Remember that? Remember that word devices? Remember that? Talk about the devil and his what? His devices. Remember that? That word devices. I want to ask you a question. Does your device have you? Or do you have it? Do you get mad when mom and daddy say, put it down? Would you get mad if mom and daddy said, I'm taking it? I think our kids would live more for God. I'm being honest. I'm putting my nose in your business. That's what preachers are paid to do. I think we'd have more young people living for God if they didn't have cell phones. Now, I'm just being honest with you. Or go back to the type that doesn't have this, what do you call it, the smartphone thing. Go back. Go back to the type that doesn't have all that junk on it. Get rid of the junk. You know? I talked to the average young person and said, why do you have a smartphone? Oh, I got to have my games. I got to have my games. Back in my day, you didn't carry your games around with you everywhere. That would have been very difficult. But we're so locked into that stuff, aren't we? I'm telling you the fact. We're so locked into that stuff. And that stuff gets a grip on us. and it just pulls us. And before you know it, you're walking around and somebody says, hey, did you memorize your scripture for a Bible class or something like that? Did you memorize? No. Why didn't you memorize? Oh, I'll tell you why I didn't memorize. You spent too much time playing the game thing, see? All right, now I'm saying this. Listen to me tonight. I'm saying the devil has a way in. Now, as a mom and daddy, you have a responsibility to protect your kids. Now, you have to draw the line where you're going to draw the line and protect your kids. You better make sure that you draw it where it needs to be drawn so that your kids do not get drawn away. Come on. And you kids will love mom and daddy enough that mom and daddy says, this is it there. You ought to say, yes, ma'am, thank you so much for loving me. Yes, sir, thank you so much for loving me. I appreciate it so much. Amen. Ought to be a good spirit. Good spirit. Amen. Matter of fact, you ought to come home every day, hand your mom and daddy the paddle and say, look, I deserve 20 paddles for everything I did today, and you don't know nothing about it. Whack me, will you? Now, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I've got to lighten you up somehow before you go home. I'm kidding. But I am saying this. I am saying it would be really good for you to very pay close attention to what your precious kids are watching and what's being taught to them. Be careful. Father, thank you for tonight.